Translation. The Supreme Personality of Godhead has no beginning, no end, and no middle. Nor does he belong to a particular person or nation. He has no inside or outside. The dualities found within this material world, such as beginning and end, mine and theirs, are all absent from the personality of the Supreme Lord. The universe which emanates from him is another feature of the Lord. Therefore, the Supreme Lord is the ultimate truth, and he is complete in greatness. In response, please. The Supreme Personality of Godhead has no beginning, no end, and no middle. Nor does he belong to a particular person or nation. He has no inside or outside. The dualities found within this material world, such as beginning and end, mine and theirs, all absent from the personality of the Supreme Lord. The universe which emanates from him is another feature of the Lord. Therefore, the Supreme Lord is the ultimate truth, and he is complete in greatness. Purport by his divine grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, is described in the Brahma Samhita 5.1. Ishvara Parama Krishna, Sakchit Ananda Vigraha, Anadir Govindaha, Sarva Karana Karanam. Krishna, known as Govinda, is the Supreme Controller. He has an eternal, blissful, spiritual body. He is the origin of all. He has no other origin, for he is the prime cause of all causes. For the Lord's existence there is no cause, for he is the cause of everything. He is in everything, mayatitam idam sarvam. He is expanded in everything, but he is not everything. He is achintya bheda bheda, simultaneously one and different. That is explained in this verse. In the material condition, we have a conception of beginning and end. But the Supreme Personality of Godhead, there are no such things. The universal cosmic manifestation is also the Virat Rupa that was known to Arjuna in Bhagavad Gita. Therefore, since the Lord is present everywhere and all the time, he is the absolute truth and the greatest. He is complete in greatness. God is great, and how he is great is explained here. Om Gyanti Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svabhadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitam Scha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabando Jagadpate Gopisha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavanishvari Rishavanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Panchakalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shri Vasudhi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So this is the Swayambhuva Manu is speaking. It's a pastime of when Swayambhuva Manu, he has great intelligence. He sees that his daughter has become of marriageable age, and therefore he makes suitable arrangements by finding a suitable husband. Now, in this material world, most people will think about finding somebody who has plenty of money, plenty of prestige, so that she would be well catered for. This is what we call a material conception. But Swayambhuva Manu is intelligent. He thinks, I want my daughter to get the best in life. So everybody wants the best in life. So he makes arrangement that she can become, hopefully, self-realized. And so he finds out one sage called Kardama Muni. And Kardama Muni is just looking for a suitable wife by Krishna's arrangement. And so Kardama Muni arranges that he agrees with Swayambhuva Manu that after we have children, I will marry your daughter, but after we have children, then I can leave that situation and take sannyas. And so Swayambhuva Manu agrees. So this is the nature of the material world. Even though we know about transcendence, we have material affinity. So this is shown by Devahuti. She's the daughter of one of the most powerful leaders in the universe, and yet she's influenced by the material energy to want to, due to her body constitution, to take a husband. And I think he's explained that Kardama Muni is actually a pure devotee and he's a brahmachari. But he developed that desire by Krishna's arrangement so that there would be suitable progeny, the progenitors of mankind. So this is the situation. Is now Swayambhuva, it's explaining after this agreement how Swayambhuva Manu went home and how he lived. And he explains that, I'll just read some of it actually, it's very interesting, that this is a leader of society. But how is he leading? Emperor Swayambhuva Manu enjoyed life with his wife and subjects and fulfilled his desires without being disturbed by unwanted principles contrary to the process of religion. Celestial musicians, their wives, sang in the chorus about the pure reputation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead with a loving heart. So Prabhupada writes, human society is actually meant for realization of perfection in Krishna consciousness. There is no restriction against living with a wife and children, but it should be so conducted that one may not go against the principles of religion, economic development, regulated sense enjoyment, and ultimately liberation from material existence. The Vedic principles are designed in such a way that the conditioned souls who have come to this material existence may be guided in fulfilling their material desires and at the same time be liberated and go back to Godhead. It is understood that Swayambhuva Manu, the emperor, enjoyed his household life while following these principles. It is stated here that early in the morning there was musicians who used to sing with musical instruments about the glories of the Lord, and the emperor with his family personally used to hear about the pastimes of the Supreme Person. This custom is still prevalent in India in some of the royal families and temples. Professional musicians sing with shanais, and the sleeping members of the house gradually get up from their beds in a pleasing atmosphere. During bedtime also, the singers sing songs in relationship with the pastimes of the Lord with shanai accompaniment, and the householders gradually fall asleep, remembering the glories of the Lord. In every house, in addition to the singing programs, there is an arrangement for Bhagavatam lectures in the evening. Family members sit down, hold Hare Krishna Kirtan, hear narrations from the Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita, and enjoy music before going to bed. The atmosphere created by this Sangatan movement lives in the heart, and while sleeping they also dream of singing and glorification of the Lord. In such a way, perfection of Krishna consciousness can be attained. This practice is very old as learned from the Srimad Bhagavatam millions of years ago, Swayambhuva Manu used to avail himself of this opportunity to live householder life in the peace and prosperity of a Krishna conscious atmosphere. So this is sometimes when we, this is like a preamble. Hey? Is it? Not better. So this verse is about Krishna consciousness, the qualities of. So this is the duties of any leader to give a good example to the followers. Because we, just like Devahuti, she was a tendency for material thought and material relationship. So this is always regulated in Shastra by rules and regulations which minimize material conduct and optimize spiritual practice. So as a leader, Swayambhuva Manu was very strict about his sadhana. And in this way, the ruling of the universe went on very nicely. Actually, Srila Prabhupada says that if we have strong spiritual life, then the management will go on nicely. And I thought I'd just say a little bit about that. Otherwise, we know that we're in a material world and we're associating with so many things. And if we're not associating with spiritual sound vibration in the form of Srimad Bhagavatam and Kirtan, then what will become prominent in our minds? The very things we're associating with. And this means material consciousness. So superimposed upon our service will be a material consciousness, and it will be difficult, actually, to see the way forward, and we'll become stumped. We need to do so much. And it means that we start to work very hard in order to maintain our status quo. Does anybody feel that sometimes? We get into material consciousness, we think we are the doer, and we have to do so much. But I say Krishna's not saying that in the Bhagavad Gita. What is Krishna saying? Abandon all rights, just surrender unto me. I'll take care. And so in all activities, we have to depend on Krishna. He tells Arjuna, Tasmat sarvashu kalishu, mama anusmara yagyacha, maya puta manobhir, mam ivaishas asamshaya. Therefore you should carry out your prescribed duties, and at the same time, with your body and words, and at the same time remember me. And so this is what Swayambhuva Manu is giving himself an opportunity to do. And so, but we don't just affect, if we're actually a leader, and all devotees are leaders, because everybody we meet, they're influenced by that association. And that devotee has something which nobody else in this world has. No amount of PhDs or study or experience in the material world can give one iota of what a devotee's got. So therefore, we're leaders. And therefore, if we have to ensure that we're fixed up in our spiritual consciousness. Otherwise, it becomes material consciousness, and then we pass that on to others. And also, if we're in a position in the movement, we pass it on to our subordinates. It comes down, doesn't it? It seeps down. Have you noticed that? I was giving a material example of, does anybody remember Brian Clough and Alf Ramsey? Now, they were expert in what they did. They didn't take Alf Ramsey. He went to Ipswich. I know it's a Bhagavatam class, but he went to Ipswich, and they were in the fourth division at that time. And in the first year, they went to the top, promotion. Then they go into third. In the next year, they went up to the third. And in the next year, they went up to the second. In consecutive years, they went from the bottom to the top. Why? Because he was fixed in his particular occupation. And then they went into the European Cup at that time. So it's all depends. So what made that side so powerful? You know, there's so many managers come and go. What made it so? What made it that particular same players? Probably in the beginning, he just probably, I don't know what he did, but you know, they don't have much money down there in the fourth division. So, but he did. He managed to get them to the top because he knew what he was talking about. He was fixed on his, and he could inspire people. Because it's inspiration which counts. You can have all the best things in the world, but unless a person is inspired, what's he going to do? He's not going to do anything. So they were inspired. And it was the same with the second person. I mean, he did the same thing. He took them to the top straight away. He went to two places. They were nondescript, and he, immediately by his association, because he was fixed in his duty. Only trouble is, the second one, he said too much. You know what I mean? He said things in the wrong... Alf Ramsey was a gentleman. He knew how to hold his tongue. And therefore people... You know, and it, therefore... But he... But the second one, he was a little bit outspoken. So it doesn't go down very well when people are outspoken. But as devotees... It's a good thing to be outspoken in the right way, in the right context. We do it through the right avenues, not the chit-chat in the corridors, but if we have a point, then we put it through the right avenues. And that's, I said it last time, actually, that this is what we're keeping the quality of the movement up there. If we're doing that, we're giving feedback. We don't just see something and we think it's wrong, we say nothing, but we give feedback. And so what happens if we get into the mode of, say if we do get into the mode of passion, what's the result of the mode of passion? In the beginning it's great. You know, we get what we want. But after a time, because it's the mode of passion, it becomes very dry, sours, and then we're in distress and we're in difficulty. Bhagavad Gita says this. What does Bhagavad Gita say? Happiness in the mode of passion. It's like nectar and then it becomes poison. You get temporary satisfaction of the mind and senses. Happiness in a mode of goodness. It's difficult to maintain these standards, isn't it? Difficult to come to a class every day. Difficult to chant every day. Difficult to get up in the morning. But it's that nectar, that poison becomes nectar. And it's actually, because we're doing that, what does he say about it? It's a yoga system, so it upholds that particular practice. Mode of goodness. Mode of goodness means maintenance. And this also comes off in our association with the temple. If we're a leader, then everything becomes a mode of goodness. Everybody follows that example. And that's maintainable. Otherwise, it becomes unmaintainable. And we become... What's the word? Disempowered. Not enthused like that. So this is determination in the mode of goodness is by religious principles. But we have to this verse is talking about the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who's Adokshaja. It means we cannot understand him by material calculation. And so how is one going to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead? What's the methods? There's hearsay. Not hearsay, but it's tradition, isn't it? Tradition. What's the other ones? We try to understand things by direct perception. Like that. Oh, what's the hypothesis? Maybe. And pratyaksha is direct perception. Hypothesis is speculating. Anuman. And then what's the final one is? Shabda. Evidence of Shastra. Shabda Praman. So this is where we go forward by... this is just going through the point that we're reading this verse where the Supreme Personality of God is beyond our ability to understand. So we're hearing regularly so we can understand. From higher authority, it's called the... Is it the ascending process or the descending? Descending. But if we already, sometimes, if we're not hearing regularly, we already know. Many people already know. I had one uncle, they call him my Uncle Harold. And somebody once said, I said, it's very rare he's wrong, but he's right again. He was always right. And what happens to somebody who's always right? What is the situation? Does anybody bother to tell him anything? And so we should be careful that we don't fall into that category. That we, you know, even after many, many years, we're still prepared to listen. Even from juniors, we might learn something. So coming on to this particular verse a bit more. And so as devotees, we have to disseminate, which is actual spiritual guidance and which is material guidance. We have to see which is actually going to take us in the right way. We don't follow blindly, in other words. What's that verse? Satam prasangam mamavira samvido bhajanti ritkana rasayanakata tajoshna papa vargavartme shradharatir bhakti anukramishyati. So this is, when we hear regularly, what happens to the ears? They get purified, but it becomes pleasing actually. By regularly doing a thing, we develop a taste. Shraddha Ratir Bhakti. Bhajanti Ritkarna. Ritkarna, the heart and the ear. The ears become pleased and the heart becomes satisfied by transcendental knowledge. And then what happens is that we gather up faith. Faith starts to become prominent in the heart. And then detachment. And then attachment, ratir, anukramishyati. And so this is what we're trying to do. We're trying to develop this faith in the association of devotees so that we can understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And this is through the mercy of the devotees, through the mercy of the spiritual master. So we have to have that proper discrimination who to listen from. By regularly hearing from that person, then we develop a proper understanding, like Dhruva Maharaj or Narada Muni. It's mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam how Narada Muni, he was only 5 years old, but he heard from the Bhaktivedantas. In the association of devotees, we hear. He says there's a book Bhagavat and person Bhagavat. And by following the directions of the person Bhagavat, as we were saying earlier, one has got to be following himself before he can be potent, then we get the result. Dhruva Maharaj very quickly made advancement to the goal of life. And so there's different levels of... He says we can't understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This verse is a complete understanding of Krishna. Ishvara Parama Krishna Sakchit Ananda Vigra Anadir Arir Govinda Sarva Karana Karanam. But in the... When Arjuna is in the Bhagavad Gita, after the seed verses, he starts to accept Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And in the purport to 12 and 13, Prabhupada starts to describe how we understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he says, we may know the Supreme Personality of Godhead as the all-pervading Brahman. We may know him as the Paramatma. And even if we know he's a person, we may not fully understand him. So it's a gradual process. What's the first level of understanding the Supreme Personality of Godhead, according to Prabhupada? Anybody remember? It's a difficult one. He goes through different names for the Supreme Lord. Hey? Yeah, we've just mentioned, though. First is Paramatma. First is Brahman, then Paramatma. And then he starts talking about the personal understanding. Bhagavan, full in six opulences. He says, but then Prabhupada says, Yet many liberated persons cannot understand Krishna. Even if one understands Krishna as Bhagavan, one may not understand him as Bhagavan, Supreme Person, Purushottam. One may understand him as Purushottam, yet still one may not understand him as what would come logically next. Purushottam means a Supreme Person. So he has to be Lord of all other persons. Bhuta Bhavana. We may know him as the Lord of all other living entities, but we may not know him as the Supreme Controller. What's the Supreme Controller? Bhuteshu. We may know him as the Supreme Controller, but we may not know him as... What's the next one? Bhuteshu is living entities on this sphere, on the material planet, on the earthly planets. Eh? Devadeva. He's the Lord of all the demigods. And then what's the next one? He's the Lord of all the demigods, and then there's the whole universe. The Jagatpati is Jagatpati. Well, this one, this Vishvara Paramahakrishna, is saying he's the Lord of everything. He's the original source of everything. So this is most complete. And then in the Bhagavatam, it shows how gradually the Bhagavatam goes through the understanding of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Anybody remember that verse? The subjects of the Bhagavatam. Atrasarga Visargascha. Stanam Poshnam Atayaha. Manvantare Sanukanta Nirodha Muktir Ashrayaha. So Atrasara is this, means the creation. First part in the Bhagavatam deals with the creation. Sarga, and then secondary creation, Visharga. Stanam, the status quo. Anyway, we'll not go through all of them. It's important, but not at this particular time. Planetary system, Stanam. Poshnam, protection. Utaya, the creative impetus. Manvantara, the changes of Manu. This is what subject we're on now, 8th canto. Isha Anukanta, the science of God. Nirodha, going back to Godhead. And Mukti, liberation. And the last one, what we're talking about is Ishvara Paramahansa, Ashrayaha, the Samanbonam. So Krishna's gradually understood through the Srimad Bhagavatam. Can anybody tell me which part of the Bhagavatam relates to each of these? Or is anybody... Actually, in the 12th canto, it says that we shouldn't try to understand it in that way. 11th canto, end of the 11th canto, it says it's all... We're finding different parts of this realization in different parts of the Bhagavatam. It's not all in one place. It's not like the feet are the, you know, creation, then it moves up. But it's... what do they call that word? When something's threaded through a whole thing. Generic, is it? So there are many different subjects in the Bhagavatam. Generic. Threaded through. Eh? Integrated, that's a better word. Yeah. And so this is just going to the point we were making earlier about how a leader, like Swayambhuva Manu, like ourselves, it's important to understand this subject matter. Prabhupada said we should study this subject matter threadbare. If we study it threadbare, then we get a proper understanding. If we superficially go through it, then what happens is we misunderstand. And then if we, as a leader, misunderstand the subject matter, everybody else starts to misunderstand. And then we wonder why sometimes we're going off track. So this hearing process, we hear from those, what's the best way of telling who we should hear from? By their example. How they speak. What they speak about. That means that we're hearing properly, but also, are they hearing? Because what happens, you know, it doesn't matter how experienced we become in devotional service, unless we're getting topped up. Prabhupada gives the example of a glass of milk, and you pour ink in, but because you're keeping the milk, the ink just flows out again. So in devotional life, we have to keep topped up with spiritual understanding. We have to keep topping it up every day. And then the material contamination doesn't come in. But unless we're topping it up, the ink comes in. And then our consciousness automatically... So if somebody's not hearing regularly, what qualification have they got to lead? I mean, I can't say who's hearing and who's not hearing, but, you know, it should be understood that a person's hearing, and then just Kripa Maya saying, as they... So we can tell by what's coming out. But we won't be able to tell what's coming out unless we're hearing, will we? We'll just accept it. And so Swayambhuva Manu is setting this example. He's glorifying the Supreme Personality of Godhead in very intricate philosophy. He knows in detail how he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He's not just a... just a manager as a leader, but he's actually a spiritual leader as well. And we should all be spiritual leaders. So Brahma Samhita. Okay, so it's 25 past. We haven't really gone into the details of this verse, but there's some preamble there.